Con el under $3 menu de McDonald's, un sausage burrito es solo $1.50. Así que échale salsa picante o ketchup a tu sausage burrito con todo en McDonald's. Solo por tiempo limitado. Precios y participación pueden variar. Precios con entrega pueden ser más altos.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are live to begin a new week here on Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network and Sirius XM Channel 159. He is Scott Wetzel. I am Ben Stevens, and FFC begins by looking back on the weekend that was preseason week number 2 of the National Football League, with a Monday night football game on the horizon in Landover, Maryland this evening, Scott, as history looks to be added to by the Baltimore Ravens. They've won 24 consecutive preseason games, so a ton of preseason football to break down. And then, Scott, it's a ceremonious time in college football. It is officially game week. We are 5 days away from Saturday, August 26th, and week zero beginning college football's 2023 campaign. So, Scott, a wonderful time to be on Football Full Circle.
Yeah, I'm still trying to figure out the week zero thing. It couldn't be like 1A. Leave it to college football to have a zero and have a bunch of games. I don't quite get that, but okay, it is what it is. Yeah. and then the other thing you have to explain to me is, Ben, how is a team that has won 24 straight preseason games only a 1.5-point favorite tonight against, you know, a Washington Commanders team? You know, generally speaking, preseason, who knows what you're getting, but as a whole, they probably won't be very good this year. And yet Baltimore, which has shown this interest in winning these games 24 in a row, I mean, this is the classic winners bet with streaks, losers bet against streaks. But is this a sucker line, or is Vegas handing us a free winner tonight? Because you want to give me, you could do, come up with something that you do 24 times in a row that you would say, okay, that's normal. I don't care what it is, whether it's flipping a coin, whether it's baking cookies and having it come out right. I mean, anytime you do anything 24 in a row, it's amazing. So, but we can get them basically at, you know, even odds tonight.
Scott, I think that's a great point, right? A lot of people would say, it's preseason. What does it really matter? Nobody truly cares about preseason football. Or each and every week you're in a preseason game, you're not sure who's going to play or what the depth chart looks like for that team. So it's random. It's odd. It's preseason. But it's happened 24 consecutive times. That sample size, Scott, is not some sort of random iteration. That is a strong amount. It is not coincidence. It is a matter of expectation now for Baltimore. Already the longest, a historic winning streak in terms of preseason football. 24 straight wins for John Harbaugh and the flock. They look to make that 25 tonight. They're a 1.5 favorite on the road in Landover against the Commanders. It's only -130, Scott, on the money line for the Ravens to even win outright.
Yeah, I'm guessing that's going to go up. But what is it going to go up? You know, to 2, you know, maybe 2.5 when people actually start betting it. But it really doesn't make any sense, right? I mean, you have a head coach who clearly loves to win these preseason games. So why are we getting them at pick'em? You're probably not going to get Lamar Jackson. You're probably going to get the backups. But we've been getting the backups for the last 7 years. Think about that. This is year number 8 of this streak. It really is kind of funny. And you don't have to worry about the point spread. But I will throw it out there, in these 24 wins, they're 23-1 against the spread, which is another remarkable thing, right? But, you know, tonight laying 1.5, you know, maybe 2, odds are if they win, they're going to cover. It is bizarre. It really is one of the more bizarre things we joke about on my podcast. There's certain things we bet every single year. You know, Joey Chestnut to win the hot dog eating contest, and you got to bet the Baltimore Ravens to win every game of the preseason.
-130 on the money line tonight for the flock, looking to make it 25 consecutive preseason victories. A 1.5 spread, Scott, is maybe indicative of the Ravens' first preseason game when they beat the Eagles by just 1-20-19 to extend the streak to 24 straight wins. Let's go back, Scott, to Sunday night football. We have a Monday night football game here to end out week 2 of the preseason. We also had a standalone Sunday night football game in Los Angeles ridiculous between the Chargers and the Saints last night. New Orleans victorious for their second straight time here in the 2023 preseason. 22-17 over Los Angeles. And Scott, for the second straight week in the preseason, the story for the Saints, their field goal kicking. Will Lutz, a perfect 3 for 3. The rookie kicker out of Notre Dame, Blake Groupie, who hit the game-winning field goal last week in the opener against Kansas City, a perfect 2 for 2 in the second half. That's 5 field goals. That's 15 points. They scored another touchdown as well, 22-17. The final, New Orleans able to cover as a 3.5-point favorite as well.
Yeah, you got some teams that don't have one field goal kicker, and the yep. Saints apparently have two. I mean, I don't know if they could ever trade the, you know, I don't think they'd get rid of Lutz, but if they could ever trade Groupie, the kid from Notre Dame, you know, maybe they'd get like a late draft choice for him. You know, it's two things for this game, Ben. One is, you know, you kind of take a step back. Not that you thought he retired or anything, but there's a part of me that says, whatever happened to Jameis Winston? What went wrong? I mean, I wasn't his biggest fan with some of the things he did in college, but he did have a couple of monster years. You know, the 1 year through for 40-plus touchdowns for Tampa Bay. It's like, what, you know, why didn't he ever get the chance down in New Orleans or somewhere else? We saw last night, you know, he's still a pretty good quarterback. You know, 13 of 21. With all the quarterback openings this offseason, I would have thought somebody would have brought him in a spot where he really could have competed. And then the other thing is the Easton Stick. I know they were going gaga over him last night, but I tell you what, if Justin Herbert gets hurt, this Chargers team's in a lot of trouble because he's their only backup.
Easton Stick played, the entirety of the game yesterday, Scott. 41 pass attempts, but did throw 2 interceptions. The Saints victorious on Sunday night. Our reaction from 11 games on a Saturday around the NFL in preseason week number 2. That's up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're back live right here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, all a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network in Sirius XM Channel 159. Scott, when we last spoke on Friday, there was a doubleheader of preseason Week 2 action following the opening game of Week 2, a 18-18 tie between the Browns and the Eagles. So we had 2 games on Friday, 11 games, Scott, on Saturday, with all of the storylines you can anticipate for week number 2 of the preseason. Scott, as you look back on the weekend that was in NFL preseason action, is there anything that stood out to you more than most?
Yeah, you got 3 things. You know, I've been concentrating on these rookie quarterbacks, right? So Anthony Richardson did not play for the Colts, which I kind of figured, but I still think that's a bit of a surprise. You anoint him as your starter, and all of a sudden, he gets all the props of an Aaron Rodgers, and he doesn't get to play in week number 2. I mean, I don't know. It just seems to me, Ben, I would give this guy as much playing time as possible if now you say he's our starting quarterback. So he doesn't play for the Colts, who end up winning against the Bears, even though they were down big. Bryce Young, we'll go there. 1 field goal now in 5 drives. I asked you this on Friday, Ben, and I'll ask you again. I mean, is there any way that the Carolina Panthers can rescind that he's going to be the starting quarterback in week number 1 of the regular season? Because 1 field goal and 5 drives, he's not looking good. At least C.J. Stroud played a little better. I'll get to him in a second. But the Bryce Young thing to me is, you know, a bit of a concern. And then real quickly, C.J. Stroud, same thing. Ultimately, you know, they're all going gaga how much he played better. He did. But let's not lower the bar so much. The guy has 1 field goal and 6 drives. So it's kind of similar. At least he did put some decent numbers on the board, but he's not getting him into the end zone at all. Texans head coach DeMeco Ryan said he's proud of what he's done, blah, 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 but he's not ready to announce that he's going to be the starting quarterback week number 1 against Baltimore. So I'd be a little concerned with the Young and Stroud, and I'm disappointed that Richardson didn't play.
Yeah, I thought we'd see Anthony Richardson. I get that he got some run, 3 offensive possessions in the Colts preseason opener week number 1 against the Giants. But I found it interesting, Scott, that we saw preseason week 2 when you would expect to see a lot of the starters. In certain cases, we didn't really see any of the starters. I found that a little bit interesting to begin things here week number 2. Bryce Young was a little bit better but not much. Again, only a field goal to show for the possessions that he has led so far here for the Panthers. C.J. Stroud, 7-12, 50 yards. But, Scott, it wasn't a great game for C.J. Stroud. Had a golden opportunity after Tua threw a pick on the first play from scrimmage offensively of that game. Set up the Texans inside the Dolphins 15. They go for it on fourth and goal, and C.J. Stroud misfires twice on third and fourth and goal to not be able to convert with any points or a touchdown in that scenario. So better, but not great. And like you said, the ultimate thing being for Stroud being named that starting quarterback. The Dolphins whooped on the Texans that day, by the way, 28-3. Miami led by Skylar Thompson, 157 yards and three touchdowns. But Scott, it was interesting to see some of those starting quarterbacks, not the younger ones, but some of the starting quarterbacks out there on Saturday. I was shocked to see Tua Tagovailoa playing that preseason game. And in the game right after it, Buffalo and Pittsburgh, the Steelers started Kenny Pickett. The Bills started Josh Allen. We saw some scoring out of Pittsburgh. The Steelers a perfect 2-0 in this preseason. 27-15, the victory for the Steelers at home on Saturday night.
Yeah, we got a lot of Pat Mahomes as well. You know, we knew that the Pittsburgh and Baltimore, or Pittsburgh and Buffalo were both going to play their starters some, but that was good to see. Danny Nichols, as I like to call him, Friday night, play some for the New York Giants. I did see the Tua thing, and I'm thinking to myself, first of all, I've seen him going out on a field bed. I'm like, what are we doing? Well, why? I say we as a Dolphin. Why are we playing him? That is first throw is almost a pick six. I'm like, get him out. Just get him out, please. This is a bad karma, right? But then he actually let him on a touchdown drive. So in the end, I guess it was good to see him and play some. Like I said, Mahomes played a little bit. We had the Trey Lance look, pretty good. If you really want to, forget about Stroud and Young, if you really want to take an evaluation, at least Trey Lance got him into the end zone, touchdown pass, did throw a pick, but his numbers were pretty good against a pretty good Denver defense, right? Going for 173 yards. So, and Brock Purdy played. How about that? I didn't think that was going to come at all this preseason, and he was out there for a drive, throwing for 65 yards.
So he played for the San Francisco 49ers. We also saw Mac Jones get the start for New England, 6-9, 52 yards. Bailey Zappe, a touchdown toss, and Jordan Love looked really good for Green Bay on Saturday evening, Scott, in Lambeau, 5-8, 84 yards, and a touchdown for the Packers. He's starting to build a little bit of that confidence for Green Bay. Now, of course, just their third starting quarterback in the last three decades plus. You also looked around, and one of the hottest QB battles at the moment, Scott, is between Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield. We didn't see Baker on Saturday for Tampa Bay against the New York Jets, but Kyle Trask played a good majority of that football game against Gangrene, 20 of 28, 218 yards, and a touchdown toss. He looked good. They won 13-6. Maybe not the most resounding performance ever, but a pretty good feather in the cap, Scott, I thought, for Trask in this quarterback competition.
Yeah, and that's the one. Well, really Houston, too, I suppose. But I think when everything is said and done, Stroud will get the start. But the one in Tampa is our real legitimate, quarterback battle. Do you go Baker? Do you go Kyle Trask? Is Baker just going to hold the fort, whereas Trask is like, okay, let's see if he's going to find out if he's going to be our quarterback in the future? You said it, 20-28, 218 yards against, obviously a very good Jets defense, one that shut out Carolina the week before. Nothing spectacular. They didn't put 30 points on the board, but I thought he did well for himself. That's going to be an interesting decision to make down in Tampa.
Yeah, and you mentioned Brock Purdy, 4-for-5, looked pretty good in his series out there with San Francisco. We also saw Russ playing that game on the other side for the Denver Broncos. Russell Wilson, Scott, has played in both of Denver's preseason games. Clearly Sean Payton trying to instill, hey, this is how we're going to do things here. We're going to get you back up to the speed and let Russ cook. Jimmy Garoppolo made his debut in Los Angeles for Las Vegas on Saturday night against the Rams. The Rams now 0-2 this preseason. They've given up 34 points in each of their two games. Again, the Rams don't care about preseason football. Jimmy Garoppolo, a perfect 4-for-4, 39 yards. But Scott, the story out of Raiders camp, at least in my estimation, Aiden O'Connell, the rookie quarterback out of Purdue, 11-of-18 against LA on Saturday night. two touchdown tosses. In his preseason debut, he was also exceptional for Las Vegas. I always thought Aiden O'Connell had the kind of makeup, Scott, from what he did at Purdue to be a long-term quarterback in the National Football League. Probably that guy that was going to be a perennial backup, but gave you a couple of glimpses, might get himself a second paycheck or a second contract, I should say, in the NFL to be around for a while. He is off to a really good start here in his young NFL career.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't think he'd be able to unseat Jimmy G, right? But it is nice to know with all the injuries that Garoppolo has had over his career that you have a pretty good backup as your quarterback. I liked him in Purdue. You know, he's the one quarterback that, is not really relying on his legs, right? All the other guys, can throw the football, don't get me wrong, but this guy is the prototypical, 1980s, 90s quarterback. Drop back pass, not going to scramble around much. Threw for all, for a gazillion yards at Purdue. Bet on him a number of times, as a matter of fact, so. Yeah, he's looked good. 2 for 2 so far.
2 for 2 so far, and has looked really good in both of those games for Las Vegas. The Raiders, unsurprisingly, then a perfect 2-0 to start off preseason here in 2023. So that's where we stand right now with some of our reactions around the National Football League from preseason football. And Scott, I would be remiss if we did not discuss a guy that we talked about on Friday, Tyson Bagent, the backup quarterback for Chicago, who was the undrafted guy out of D2 Shepherd's University in West Virginia. 9 of 10, 76 yards against the Colts on Saturday. Also ran in a score. Scott, there's talk in Chicago that Bagent might be the number two quarterback behind Justin Fields. Not Nathan Peterman and not P.J. Walker. More of Football Full Circle up next here on Sports Grid Radio.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC. It's Football Full Circle, a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott, week 2 of the NFL preseason comes to a close tonight. Then after that, only one more week of preseason football, a couple of days off, camp finishes, cuts sadly have to be made, and we get ready for week number 1 of the NFL regular season. But week 2 ends tonight, Scott, with the best preseason team out there, the Baltimore Ravens, winners of 24 consecutive preseason games, putting that streak to test on the road tonight, slightly outside the nation's capital in Landover against the Washington Commanders. Scott, we talked about this game at the very start of the show. Baltimore right now, a 1.5-point favorite, the money line up by 5 cents from where it was about an hour ago. It's minus 135 in favor of the flock. That over-under, Scott, stands at 37.5.
Yeah, this is one of those games that I shouldn't say this because I'm hosting in-game live tonight, and it's kind of refuting what I'll be doing for 3 hours tonight. But this is honestly one of those games. I have these every once in a while where I'll just bet one thing. That you really, like, the smart better. If I'm going to ride this streak and blindly bet Baltimore, and I think I'd bet Baltimore tonight even anyway, regardless of the streak against Washington, that, you can't have a free winner, right? And the boys in Vegas, logic, everything else, the NFL, they're all giving us a free winner on Baltimore tonight. So we can't win on Baltimore and then bet on, the Kansas City Royals later on tonight, or, the New York Liberty in the WNBA, or whoever else may be playing. You have to take the free winner and have the willpower to just forget everything else. You want to give me a free winner? I got a team that's won 24 in a row, and I'm getting them basically a pick'em odds. You play just Baltimore, and you walk away for the rest of the night. You go take your loved one out to dinner, have some fun, watch a movie, and just see the Ravens win, 20-17 and be happy versus winning on Baltimore and throwing it away on all these other goofy bets.
Yeah, I would agree, Scott. I would certainly agree. Listen, we talked about it at the start of this show. A lot of people would look at a 24-game preseason win streak and say, who cares? It's the preseason. What does it really matter? Each and every week, it's a different assembly of guys out there against a different formation of a roster. Who really cares whatsoever? It's random. It's just random. No, 24 games is not a coincidence. 24 straight wins dating back to September of 2015 is not just throw a coin up in the air and you got it right 50% of the time. There is a reason that John Harbaugh and Baltimore continues to win these games. There is an instillment, Scott, in this team that preseason does matter. We're going to go out there and try to have more points than the other guy when all is said and done. And, Scott, I think it's further in this streak, right? We've known Lamar Jackson has been the quarterback for Baltimore since 2018. We saw him in the preseason in 2018 and MVP in 2019. But this streak is all the way back to September of 2015, well before the Lamar Jackson era in Baltimore when Joe Flacco was at the helm. Now, Scott, though, as of late for me, since I've been paying attention to this for the flock, you have guys that have gained credible regular season experience, even somebody that was named a Pro Bowler out there to play a ton in the preseason. That's Tyler Huntley, the quarterback for Baltimore. We've seen Anthony Brown get some run now entering his second year in the NFL after his college career came to a close at Oregon. These are guys, Scott, on this Baltimore roster that know how important preseason games are to this organization and also have experience beyond just preseason action and being the darling of this time of the year in August, but have played in significant games, even playoff games, in the manner of Snoop Huntley this past January.
Yeah, and I think it goes into some of the regular season success, which is what you're talking about here. Have these guys be familiar with two-minute offenses. Have these guys be familiar with pressure, kicking game-winning field goals. Have these guys be familiar with having to make stops to get the ball back with, you know, two and a half minutes left, or be able to score and go down the field on a two-minute drive, or just get the experience of playing, you know, in a close game versus being thrown in there in a regular season game because the starter goes out midway through the fourth quarter and you're putting in an offense or defensive lineman or whoever that really doesn't have that kind of experience. That's why I've always admired John Harbaugh about this. You know, whenever I do something, Ben, and maybe I'm just me, I want to win. I don't care. You know, yeah. I'm kind of like Jordan. You used to say that about Jordan. You know, he wants to win the checkers or whatever. Same way, when you're putting your name on the line and just the feeling of walking off the field as a winner, you know, if you're telling the whole world you don't care about that game, then to me, that means you're not really giving an honest 100% effort. So I think it helps in his evaluation of his players, and I think it's you know, one of the main things that's kept Baltimore, you know, on top, or at least not top, but, you know, in the postseason for the last 10 years.
John Harbaugh is as consistent of an NFL head coach as you will find around. Of course, in that AFC North division, there's a lot of staples of consistency with Mike Tomlin and John Harbaugh, but that is certainly where he stands in the pedigree of NFL head coaches. And it's really interesting, Scott, right? Like, I think the idea of being competitive and just winning is something that is in all of these football players' blood. But think about your buddy playing in an intramural pickup game on a rec basketball court. They're going to try to win. Maybe they're too competitive for a 35-year-old washed-up guy that has to go work in finance the day following, but they're still trying to win that game. It matters to them. You're playing golf. You're trying to win. Just you're that competitor to try to get going in these scenarios, and that's why I think Baltimore has had success. It's not random. It's not a coincidence at this point. It's already an NFL record. They broke that last preseason. Now it stands at 24 straight victories. And Scott, I think it's interesting, just one final point from the handicapping perspective. You mentioned just one bet on Baltimore, call it a day. The Ravens laying a point and a half. It's minus 115 in terms of that VIG. If you want to lay a point and a half with the flock, it's just minus 135 on the money line. 20 cents of difference just to have the Ravens win outright. I think, Scott, if I was going to bet this game, and I probably end up will be doing so, I'd just play Baltimore straight up money line. I'll eat 20 cents on the juice just to make sure they can win the game, even if it is by one.
Yeah, because if you think, well, then I could win by one, they won by one last week. You don't have to go very far. And that came thanks to a, you know, interception return for a touchdown. Otherwise, they would have won by eight. But, you know, you don't have to go very far to see where you can win one, you know, by one. So, yeah, it's so small that, you know what, if I only, as we say on the podcast, you know, if you start your sentence with, I only won, then it's going to be a pretty good sentence. So you lay 100 to win 90, yeah, or you lay 100 to win 80, it really, you know, you win. And the other thing real quickly also to finish it up on the quarterbacks, think about the quarterbacks that I made a note of, Ben, that I was going to play on this preseason because of their preseason records. Sean McDermott, Buffalo, and he's been on top, you know, for the last 3-4 years. Mike Tomlin, one of the best coaches in the NFL. Pete Carroll, yep, one of the better coaches in the NFL. Bill Belichick, one of the better coaches. You know, I mean, so, yep, and then think about the coaches I'm betting against. Brandon Staley, who can't coach his way out of a paper bag. Dennis Allen's lost. Todd Bowles is clueless. We'll leave Dan Campbell, you know, alone, I suppose. Sean McVay might be the only outlier of that. But, I mean, there's a clear lineup. The best head coaches in the NFL, and obviously Todd, John Harbaugh, you know, they win the preseason games, even though they're meaningless, even though, you know, they don't count and blah, blah, blah. And then you look at the head coaches that have struggled, and those are the ones that we bet against in the preseason. So I think there is something to the preseason playing well and trying really hard to win.
The Pittsburgh Steelers, a perfect 2-0. They knocked off Sean McDermott's Buffalo Bills on Saturday. The Patriots bounced back with a win in Green Bay in a game that was suspended early due to a scary injury there with Isaiah Bolden, a defensive back. Seattle, a perfect 2-0 this preseason as well. 22-14, the victory for the Seahawks against the Cowboys on Saturday evening. Drew Lock played a ton. Geno Smith was out there for the first couple of possessions. Again, it's the instillment in your team of that win. Winner's mentality. Scott, there's got to be a reason the Pittsburgh Steelers have not had a losing season in 16 years. It is Mike Tomlin. And even with the change in quarterback last year, after the Steelers got off to a 3-6 start, they rallied at the end, winning 6 of their final 8 games to beat 9-8. And frankly, we're even in postseason consideration week number 18. You might have your doubts about the Steelers as a true divisional contender, a true playoff contender, whatever it might be. But one thing you can have no doubt about is the Pittsburgh Steelers always being around 500, and that 8.5 win total this year, Scott, speaks to that for the Steelers with the over having the juice.
Yeah, and I do like the over. I you know, I'm going back and forth, but Pickett looked pretty well, you know, in the first quarter against the Buffalo Bills, and you know the defense is as good as any in the NFL. They got some wide receivers. They got the running game. I mean, they really are a Kenny Pickett good season away from being one of the better teams. And who knows how long the Burrow thing is going to last? Is this going to be a lingering thing, or is it, you know, is he really going to be ready for preseason game number one? Steelers might be just one of those teams that might be able to creep up on you and surprise you, because if they were able to go as good as they were last year, 9-8, albeit not making the playoffs, then you got to think they're going to be a little bit better, right? You got to tack on at least one more win, 10-7, 11-6. So I like their over.
Kenny Pickett has thrown a touchdown pass in each of the first two games for the Pittsburgh Steelers here in this preseason. I also would take this moment just to note, I'm going to take a flyer, Scott, on Nick Herbig, the fourth-round draft pick for Pittsburgh in 2023 this past April out of Wisconsin. He's another edge rusher from Wisconsin. We know how that has worked out for TJ Watt. I'm going to put some money down at 50-1 on Nick Herbig to win Defensive Rookie of the Year. So far in two preseason games for the Steelers, Scott, he has 2.5 sacks. He has 2 tackle for losses. He's hit the quarterback 3 times. He's made 7 tackles, 4 of them solo. He's even defended a pass breakup, knocking it out of the air. There's something about those Wisconsin edge rushers in Pittsburgh. A 50-1 flyer, maybe on Nick Herbig, who could have a big role in this Steelers defense that we expect to be pretty good in 2023. It is game week in college football. Week 0 starts on Saturday. We'll preview it all up next here on FFC.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Call Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We are back live right here on FFC, and today is Monday, August 21st, 2023. I note the time and date on the calendar. It's 12:40 p.m. Eastern Time because it is officially game week in college football. Scott, 5 days away from the start of the 2023 college football season. Saturday, August 26th, Week zero in CFB. Two top 15 teams in action. The reigning Heisman winner in Caleb Williams will take the field, returning to college football for another year in the sport at the helm of the Trojans offense. Week zero, Scott, has everything we could ask for in terms of a week zero slate, and it kicks us off in college football in 2023.
Yeah, with our beloved Notre Dame Fighting Irish among those over in Europe, or Ireland, actually, taking on Navy. That should be a lot of fun. I'm waiting for the following week to, as we get into the Deion Sanders situation with Colorado and TCU. That should be a lot of fun. Wake Forest and Elon officially kicking it off with Thursday. They'll be the first ones at 7 o'clock Eastern time. All anticipated. Yep. We got Kansas City and Detroit, which is kind of weird, but at least you got Kansas City in the NFL. College football with this week zero thing, you know, they're trying, Ben, but I don't think they quite get it when we got Elon versus Wake Forest and UConn versus North Carolina State to really kick off the college football season. And that, it's halfway there, I suppose. We need to get a couple of better teams than those.
Yeah, on that opening Thursday, Scott, there are a couple of really diamond in the roughs, if you will. Utah and Florida for the second straight year against one another, and a Big Ten opener between Nebraska and Minnesota up in the Twin Cities. But here's a brief explanation, a brief history, if you will, of week zero in college football. Scott, it was started as a guarantee of large sums of money for college football programs because, as we have seen, whether it's realignment, whether it's any update in college football, it's really the same as the old. Money rules the day. And in 1983, it was number one Nebraska taking on number four Penn State well before they were rivals in the Big Ten, or at least conference opponents, at Old Giants Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, where the Cornhuskers, Scott, hammered the Nittany Lions 44-6, despite it being 1-4. But it made Nebraska, based on travel expenses, well more than $500,000, and Penn State was guaranteed more than $500,000 as well. This was at a time in college football where the sums were not nearly as astronomical from TV revenue, but this was a guarantee, Scott, at the beginning of the year, even way back in 1983. Now, four decades ago, you were going to see a big payday if you played in the kickoff classic. And then so up until the early 2000s, Scott, we would have a marquee matchup really to start week zero. Now, the way that week zero has come back into our lives since about 2015, 2016, it's a guarantee for some of the smaller programs like Hawaii, who plays week zero every year, to see a better TV appointment. Thus, they make a bigger share back to offset all the travel expenses. It's a way for some of the lesser known programs to see a premier TV spot. But this year, Scott, in 2023, we have our first ranked team playing week zero since 2019, and we have two of them each ranked in the top 15, with number six USC and 13th ranked Notre Dame.
Yeah, monster spreads, right? 30.5 points for the USC one, or 30 points anyway. Notre Dame 20.5. You got to get used to that. You know, you can't bet college football if you're going to shy away from laying, you know, 3, 4, 5 touchdowns in some cases, and then 6 in the case of USC. So even Vandy 17.5 over Hawaii, which, you know, you would think that would be a little bit closer to the vest. So you got some competitive game. Listen, it's college football, right? I mean, it's kind of like a preseason game. You don't, you know, you put little importance into it, but it's there. These teams got to win if you want to play some of these overs or unders in the season totals. Some of these games are like key games, believe it or not. You know, if Vandy's going to go over, or Hawaii's going to go over, you know, or San Diego State or Ohio are going to go over, you know, then they got to win these games. So there is a lot riding on it for a better.
Scott, last year my favorite win total bet was Vanderbilt over 2.5 wins, and when I bet it, it was plus money. That was all contingent on Vandy taking care of business off the mainland in the Hawaiian Islands on Honolulu against the Rainbow Warriors. And Vandy looked great. Mike Wright got off to a wonderful start for Vanderbilt at the quarterback position. Of course, Vandy would go on to win 5 games a season ago, including their first SEC win since 2019. Clark Lee has this program trending in at least a more positive direction now than they were at this point a season ago. But yes, important. Let's just call a spade, Scott. If Notre Dame or USC loses on this opening weekend of college football, week zero, their margin of error is incredibly, incredibly minimal. The Trojans would have to run through Pac-12 play in the final year of the conference to have a shot at the college football playoff. Notre Dame and USC will play each other in the middle of October as well. That is an incredibly impactful game for CFP consideration. So these games still mean something, and it's a little bit of a marquee matchup, Scott, between Navy and Notre Dame. I'll say this about the midshipmen. It's a new era. Brian Newberry, who was the defensive coordinator for the past 4 years under Ken Niumatalolo, who was the head coach of the Naval Academy for a very long time, now takes over for Niumatalolo, who was let go at the end of Navy's 2022 season. They still expect to run the triple option as their base offense. And Scott, the reason I point that out is because Notre Dame being a 20.5-point favorite, a 3-touchdown favorite, it is very difficult for the Fighting Irish to try to cover that sort of number, or any team that is a multiple score favorite against Navy. In the past decade, Scott, the Navy midshipmen as an underdog, 36-24 against the number. Because when you think about the overall logistics of playing a triple option team, they are going to keep the ball on the ground. New this year in college football, the clock no longer stops after recording a first down, only picking up the pace of play and ticking that game clock even more. And if you're running the triple option, that is obviously run dependent. The ball is not in the air. The clock does not stop. There's just less amount of plays logistically for your opponent to try to cover 3 touchdowns.
Yeah, you know, you're right about that. I forgot about that, but the clock does not stop now after first down. Yeah. You talk about strategy in college football late in the game. You know, you don't have any more timeouts, but that's okay because we know the clock's going to stop. You get the first down and no more. That's really going to, it'll probably freak a lot of people out that are going to watch that stuff. Also, yeah. Army, Navy, Air Force, 20-10-1 against the spread as 2-touchdown underdogs or more.
Crazy. Crazy.
Which go into what you were just talking about even more so. Yeah, you don't lay double digits, generally speaking, against the military schools. So that should be a lot of fun. I'm still trying to get my bearing straight on New Mexico State, the Aggies being a 7.5-point favorite. When is the last time New Mexico State has been more than a touchdown favorite? When's the last time they've been a favorite? But more than a touchdown favorite, albeit against UMass. That's some goofy lines this week.
A big, big 2022 for NMSU under Jerry Kill. They went to a bowl game. They won a bowl game, a ceremonious season in 2022 for New Mexico State that they hope to pick up where things left off week zero. The shortest spread of the week zero state, San Diego State, a 2.5-point favorite against Ohio in a game between a Mountain West and a MAC team. One thing to know about Ohio, if you've seen what he has done so far in NFL preseason action, Nathan Rourke, who was really their guy for the last few years, is no longer there for the Bobcats. He had one of the highlights, Scott, of that week one preseason slate when he was being tackled to the ground and threw a 23-yard touchdown strike to a receiver in the end zone for the Jags. But that's the shortest spread that we have of the weekend. Scott, let's start with Notre Dame. I would love to get your thoughts on this Fighting Irish program. Year number two, fully for Marcus Freeman at the helm. A change in the offensive coordinator, Tommy Reese, now in Tuscaloosa. But they bring in Sam Hartman, the quarterback from Wake Forest that was putting up historic numbers in ACC play for the Demon Deacs the last 3 years. He is now that starting quarterback in South Bend. They're ranked 13th, Scott, to start the year. It's a 30-1 number on Notre Dame to win a national championship this season.
Yeah, you know, I look at the schedule, it's kind of feast or famine. You know, you got three monsters, right? Ohio State, USC, and at Clemson. You think automatically, like, ooh, how are you going to, you know, have any kind of year with that? But then you look at all the other games, and it's like, you know what? It's really not that bad. You know, when you throw in the Navy, Tennessee State, North Carolina State should be tough, but Duke and Louisville and Pittsburgh at home. I love the Hartman. I don't quite get why he wanted to transfer out of Wake Forest, but okay, he did. I think he's going to do wonders at Notre Dame. I think they've been a quarterback away. I was actually impressed last year with Freeman, the way things started 0-2 and in the process of losing game number 3 against Cal, but they really turned the season around. I know they lost a bunch of players, but it's Notre Dame. They reloaded Notre Dame. You don't have to necessarily worry about, okay, we lost 2 offensive linemen or 2 defensive tackles. I think they're going to have a very good year. Circle those 3 games. You go 2-1, and you might you're in the postseason. I won't say you might. You're in the playoffs. You go 1-2, you're probably not with that schedule.
Yeah, Notre Dame right now, I think the 3 games, Scott, that are going to decide the season for the Irish and could have huge ramifications across college football. Notre Dame this year plays USC, Clemson, and I'm blanking on the final one for the Irish.
Ohio State.
Those are the 3 games for Notre Dame that really could change the course of this season. Because think, for one, for Notre Dame, let's say they go 2-1 in that span. They only have 1 loss out of their 3 most difficult opponents. If they are perfect through the remainder of their schedule, again, there's not a lot of margin of error ever in college football, but certainly for an independent like Notre Dame, if they are perfect in the rest of their schedule, taking 2 or 3 against the Tigers, the Buckeyes, and the Trojans, that Notre Dame team is going to be in consideration, Scott, and more likely than not, making it to the college football playoff. And if they were to knock off an Ohio State or a USC or a Clemson, one of those 3 teams, Scott, their margin of error now in conference play, as we have never seen a 2-loss team reach the college football playoff, becomes astronomically more difficult. That would pretty much mandate the Tigers, the Trojans, and the Buckeyes, if they were to lose to Notre Dame, to go perfect throughout conference play en route to winning a conference championship. That is how critical Notre Dame's schedule is this year, as we often see in college football.
Yeah, I mean, you don't think about that, but it's a double-edged sword, right? I mean, not only is Notre Dame winning, but the teams that they would be beating figure to be contending for a championship or a playoff spot, and obviously they wouldn't get it over Notre Dame. If Ohio State loses to Notre Dame, Notre Dame loses to pick a team, Notre Dame, you would think, theoretically would still always get it over Ohio State. Same thing if they beat USC, so those are good. I mean, they're going to be a lot of fun, right? I mean, Notre Dame and Ohio State, both teams figure to be, 4-0 into that game at South Bend. I can't wait for that game. That might be the game of the year for me, because I know Ohio State's got some bodies to replace, but they're another team. They just reload. They'll find themselves another all-star quarterback. I don't doubt that at all. So college football's got some good games. I think Notre Dame, when everything is said and done, they're going to be in the playoffs. I love Hartman. I think that was a steal for them, and I think he's going to do wonders for Notre Dame. Yeah.
Scott, he's one of 16 FBS quarterbacks in the history of college football to combine for 50 total touchdowns in a season. It's what he did in 2021. He threw for 39 and ran for 11 more. We'll finish with that quarterback conversation in Columbus for Ohio State. We received an update from the Buckeyes head man, Ryan Day, earlier this morning. And it's not necessarily the most optimistic, depending on how you read the tea leaves. We'll break it down up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Scott Wetzel and Ben Stevens.
We're back for just a few more minutes here on FFC. It is Football Full Circle, a part of the Sports Grid Radio Network. Scott, you mentioned Ohio State reloading at quarterback, but up until this point, Ryan Day has made no final determination about which quarterback is going to fill in for C.J. Stroud. The race has been between Kyle McCord and Devin Brown. It's dated back to spring ball. It seemed as though Kyle McCord was going to take that edge, but Scott, as Ryan Day told the media this morning, it's still too close to call. He tried to paint the optimistic perspective that both have been very good and the staff has complete faith in both of these QBs, but Scott, nobody has emerged at this point. And when Ryan Day asked his staff after Ohio State's second scrimmage over the weekend, it was a dead even split in that quick straw poll. So, Scott, as of this moment, the Buckeyes still without a number one starting quarterback.
Wouldn't shock me if we saw both, right? I mean, they got three games at Indiana, and that figures to be relatively easy. Youngstown State and Western Kentucky at home before they face Notre Dame. So it's not like they're under a pressing, we really need to get with this thing figured out. But you would like to think they would have known by now. Is it really possibly because both are really good, or that the fear is it's because both are really bad or mediocre and no one has really emerged? I would imagine we'll see both, Ben. Over the first couple of weeks, especially the first couple of weeks, and then heading into Notre Dame, probably pick one. But I'm guessing both these guys are going to be pretty good. Right? I mean, it's Ohio State. Ryan Day is 45-6 in 4 years. I mean, the guy has lost six football games. They'll reload. They'll be fine no matter who they choose.
And whoever they are going to be putting in there at the quarterback spot, they have a plethora of offensive pieces at their disposal. Marvin Harrison Jr., Travion Henderson, Emeka Egbuka, Cade Stover. The list goes on and on. It is interesting, though. Kyle McCord right now, a 28-1 number to win the Heisman. Devin Brown, 40-1. That does it for Football Full Circle. The money line is next.